We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is chapter number 6. Hindi mein bole? Extra, okay. Alright, 6:33.
अर्जुनोवाच
योऽयं योगस्त्वया प्रोक्तः साम्येन मधुसूदन एतस्याहं न प्रणश्यामि चञ्चलत्वां स्थितिं स्थिराम् चञ्चलं हि मनः कृष्ण प्रमाथि बलवद्दृढम् तस्याहं निग्रहं मन्ये वायोरिव सुदुष्करम् ये दोनों श्लोक साथ में लेते हैं। अर्जुन ने कहा है मधुसूदन, आपने जिस योग पद्धति का संक्षेप में वर्णन किया है वह मेरे लिए अव्यवहारिक तथा असहनीय है, क्योंकि मन चंचल तथा अस्थिर है। क्योंकि हे कृष्ण, चूंकि मन चंचल अस्थिर उच्छृंखल हठिला तथा अत्यंत बलवान है, अतः मुझे उसे वश में करना वायु को वश करने में से भी अधिक कठिन लगता है। लोग ध्यान लगाने की बात करते हैं, योगासन में यम नियम आसन प्राणायाम प्रत्याहार धारणा ध्यान एंड समाधि, ये अष्टांग योग आते हैं। तो लोग सीधे ध्यान पर पहुंच जाना चाहता है, बुनियाद तो ठीक है ही नहीं, और उड़ना चाहता है। जब तांगे टूटी हुई है तो नाचने का फायदा क्या, वो सोचना भी नहीं चाहिए। पहले ठीक तो हो जाओ, तो ठीक होने का प्रयत्न करने से हमें कितना लाभ होता है। जो अपने आप को ठीक ही मानता है, ठीक होने नहीं देगा, तो उसके लिए क्या है, सब सारे प्रयत्न व्यर्थ हो जाए। भगवान श्री कृष्ण ने अर्जुन के लिए शुचौ देशे से लेकर योगी परमो मतः तक जिस योग पद्धति का वर्णन किया है, उसे अर्जुन अपनी असमर्थता के कारण अस्वीकार कर रहा है। इस कलयुग में सामान्य व्यक्ति के लिए यह संभव नहीं है कि वह अपना घर छोड़कर किसी पर्वत या जंगल में एकांत स्थान में जाकर योगाभ्यास करे। आधुनिक युग की विशेषता है अल्पकालिक जीवन के लिए घोर संघर्ष। लोग सरल व्यावहारिक साधनों से भी आत्म साक्षात करने के लिए उत्सुक या गंभीर नहीं है, तो फिर कठिन योग पद्धति के विषय में क्या कहा जा सकता है। जो जीवन शैली आसन विधि स्थान के चयन तथा भौतिक व्यस्तताओं से विरक्ति का नियम करती है। व्यावहारिक व्यक्ति के रूप में अर्जुन ने सोचा कि इस योग पद्धति का पालन असंभव है। भले ही वह कई बातों में इस पद्धति का खरा उतरता था, वह राजवंशी था और उसमें अनेक सद्गुण थे, वह महान योद्धा था, वह दीर्घायु था, वह सबसे बड़ी बात तो ये ही थी कि वह भगवान श्री कृष्ण का घनिष्ठ मित्र था। 5000 वर्ष पूर्व अर्जुन को हमसे अधिक सुविधाओं प्राप्त थी, तो भी उसने योग पद्धति को स्वीकार करने से मना कर दिया। वास्तव में इतिहास में कोई ऐसा प्रलेख प्राप्त नहीं है जिसे यह ज्ञात हो सके कि उसने कभी योगाभ्यास किया हो, अतः इस पद्धति को इस कलयुग के लिए सर्वथा दुष्कर समझना चाहिए। हाँ, कतिपय विरले व्यक्तियों के लिए यह पद्धति सुगम हो सकती है, किंतु सामान्य जनों के लिए यह असंभव प्रस्ताव है। यदि 5000 वर्ष पूर्व ही ऐसा था तो आधुनिक समय के लिए क्या कहना। जो लोग विभिन्न तथा कथित स्कूलों तथा समितियां के द्वारा इस योग पद्धति का अनुकरण कर रहे हैं, भले ही संतोषजनक प्रतीत हो, किंतु वे सचमुच ही अपना समय गंवा रहे हैं, वे अपने अभीष्ट लक्ष्य के प्रति सर्वथा अज्ञानी है। मन इतना बलवान तथा दुराग्रही है कि कभी कभी वह बुद्धि का उल्लंघन करता कर देता है। यद्यपि उसे बुद्धि के अधीन माना जाता है, इस व्यवहारिक जगत में जहां मनुष्य को अनेक विरोधी तत्वों का संघर्ष करना होता है, उसके लिए मन को वश करने पाना अत्यंत कठिन हो जाता है। कृत्रिम रूप में मनुष्य अपने मित्र तथा शत्रु दोनों के प्रति मानसिक संतुलन स्थापित कर सकता है, किंतु अंतिम रूप में कोई भी संसारी पुरुष ऐसा नहीं कर पाता, क्योंकि ऐसा कर पाना वेगवान वायु को वश करने में से भी कठिन है। वैदिक साहित्य कठोपनिषद में प्रथम स्कंद के तीसरे अध्याय और तीसरे और चौथे श्लोक में कहा गया है कि आत्मानं रतिनं विद्धिं शरीरं रथमेव च बुद्धिं तु सारथिं विद्धि मनः प्रग्रहमेव च इन्द्रियाणि हयानाहुर विशेषतांस्तु गोचरान् आत्मनिन्द्रिय मनोयुक्तं भोक्तेर्यत्मर्माहु मनीषिणः। प्रत्येक व्यक्ति इस भौतिक शरीर रूपी रथ पर आरूढ़ है, जो बुद्धि उसकी सारथी है, मन लगाम है तथा इंद्रियां घोड़े हैं। इस प्रकार मन तथा इंद्रियों की संगति से वह आत्मा सुख या दुख भोगता है, ऐसा बड़े बड़े चिंतकों का कहना है। यद्यपि बुद्धि को मन का नियंत्रण करना चाहिए, किंतु मन इतना प्रबल तथा हठी है कि उसे अपनी बुद्धि से जीत पाना कठिन होता है। जिस प्रकार की अच्छी से अच्छी दवा द्वारा कभी कभी रोग भी वश में नहीं हो पाता, ऐसे प्रबल मन को योगाभ्यास द्वारा मन में वश किया जाता है, किंतु ऐसा अभ्यास कर पाना अर्जुन के जैसे संसारी व्यक्ति के लिए कभी व्यवहारिक नहीं होता। तो फिर आधुनिक मनुष्य के संबंध में क्या कहा जाए? यहाँ पर उपयुक्त उपमा अत्यंत उपयुक्त है कि झंझावात को रोक पाना कठिन होता है और उच्छृंखल मन को रोक पाना तो और भी कठिन है। मन को वश में रखने के का सरलतम उपाय जिसे भगवान चैतन्य ने सुझाया है कि वह समस्त दैन्यता के साथ मोक्ष के लिए हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र कर किया जाए, यह विधि है सवै मनः कृष्ण पदारविन्दयोः। मनुष्य को चाहिए कि वह अपने मन को पूर्णतया कृष्ण में लगाए, तभी मन को विचलित करने के लिए कोई अन्य व्यस्तताएं शेष नहीं रह जाएगी। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मध्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकाम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सहगृजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णप्रपादां सहगणा ललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धौ दीनबन्धौ जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्ते। कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामामि श्रीहरिते। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
यहाँ अर्जुन मदर कैन अंडरस्टैंड एंड देन नो व्हाई डिड यू टेल मी दैट? ओके आई विल स्पीक इन इंग्लिश। हिंदी के दुराग्रह
So here there are two verses Arjun is telling in the sixth chapter, which is considered to be on meditation, the subject matter of meditation, where you have to have a stern discipline. There are eight steps and one has to conquer this yama. Yama means you have to be philosophically convinced, so you accept a particular discipline. And niyama, where there are do's and don'ts, rules and regulations are there. That you have to be mastered. Then the third one, asana. Asana means the posture, sitting postures. You know. Then
pranayam, the breathing exercises, you know, to equalize or create an equilibrium between inhaling and outhaling, you know, and hold it, you know. The holding will be essential. How long can you hold the air so you can meditate? So, then pratyahar is to remove the unwanted things in our life. It's just like anartha nivritti. It's just like anartha pratyahar. But then comes the conception, dhyana. I'm sorry, dharana. Dharana means conception. Upon what is your target of meditation? So you have to think on it. Then you can meditate. Otherwise, without proper conception of proper purificatory process, you cannot conceive anything. So then comes samadhi. Samadhi means the tranquil position, which is the end result of your meditation. So, in this particular age, Arjuna is happened to be conversing with Lord Krishna 5,000 years back. You know, at that time, and look at the qualification of Arjuna, is far better, you know, than our situation, right? So, the process of yoga has been very impractical for him. He concedes that, my dear Lord Krishna, the process of yoga ladder that you have described seems to be very impractical, because the mind is too turbulent. Therefore, when it is too difficult to control the mind, how is it that one can achieve real samadhi? He says it is better to control the wind, and we might become successful, but to control the mind is extremely difficult. So that is his opinion. He says mind is very restless and mind is not coming into our control. Has anybody controlled the mind here? Or everybody is a victim of his mind? Who is the controller? You or the mind? Anybody is in complete charge of his mind? No. So, how is it possible for us to meditate according to Ashtanga Yoga Paddhati, or the process of Eightfold Ladder of Yoga that is mentioned here? How is it possible? It was possible in the meritorious time when you have ample lifespan. Krite Dhyayato Vishnu, in the age of Satya Yuga, the first millennium, where the longevity of human being was quite considerably long. 100,000 years it is estimated. 100,000. What a span of life. But how would you time pass? What would you do? You don't have motor car at that time. You don't have toys even at that time. You don't have computer at that time. How will you pass your time for 100,000 years?
Meditation.
And that too, can you meditate for 60,000 like Vishwamitra Muni? No. And that was also, yesterday we said that he was unsuccessful. He wasted his time. He felt it. So, how is it possible for us who are but short-lived, 10,000 times short-lived, you know, in Kali Yuga we hardly live for 100 years. So how is it possible to control the mind by meditation and going through that yama niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dhyana, dharana and samadhi? How is it possible? It's logically impossible. is disqualifying this particular yoga system. Not that this yoga system was not working. It is very rare. It's not for the common people. At that time also, not everybody was doing this yoga in Satyayuga, because everybody was not civilized even. Only the Rishimunis, they were civilized. Everybody was not. The dinosaurs were also there. They were living off 7,000 years they were living. Even a crocodile can live for 1,000 years on this planet at this time. Can you imagine the other reptiles like him, the big, like dinosaurs? They could have lived a little longer. But it was a very meritorious time for longevity. So how is it possible that this yoga system will ever become successful for common man in this Kali Yuga, where he hardly lives for 100 years? He's not living for 100. How many people are of 100 years? In Kali Yuga, very difficult.
I'm saying only 1 in 100 can live for 100 years.
Why only 1 in 100?
Probably 1 in 1,000,000.
Take in PNG. What is the average lifespan here?
65.
In India it is 60?
65.
In America it is 75. What a big deal. They are also not living 100 years. By average. So by Indian standard I should be dead. I'm already reaching 60. So how is it possible to control the mind, which is so turbulent? He said that it is easy to control the wind, but it's not easy to control the mind. Those who are trying to control the space, they cannot control their mind. So NASA recognized this defect. Then how are we going to control the whole world? In the space race. So they started meditation classes to control their mind. Because somebody must be cheating them. First of all, they do not know the original conception for yoga means to link with the Supreme is ever been the goal of their life in this particular taking of this process. Nor they are following rules and regulations like eating, sleeping, mating and defending in very, very controlled way. What to speak of don'ts, they do violate. So where is the question of, they might be expert in sitting postures, they can twist their bones here and there. Baba Ramdev is also doing the same thing. And claiming so many things which are, who cares, who got benefit actually? There is no genuine statistics. But yoga is not meant to just control your diabetes anyway. It's a byproduct. Why Ramdev is selling only byproduct, not the real product? Because he doesn't know the yoga. He cannot connect you with Krishna. The process of dharana, conception, dhyan, then meditation, and then samadhi, the equilibrium, he never talks of, because it's out of his control. He may be controlling some postures by relieving some symptomatic, syndromes of a particular disease, but only symptomatic. Never the disease has been eradicated or anybody else could claim. He's changing his tone when he's challenged. But anyway, keep the body fit. So, in this way we can understand that it is extremely difficult to achieve the desired goal for which we have undertaken this process. And Arjun, being very candid, he is saying that it is totally impractical. Yet people are wasting their time. You know? Do you think that they are much more wiser than Arjun? Well, Krishna is also considering, Arjun, you are telling right, but it was meritorious in that particular time. And very rare one can become an expert and will try to. But we don't have any example who is, long lived. Is there any? I have not seen anybody. And there is no measurement. People are bluffing. You just believe even their age. No gentle lady can ever disclose her age to be right. So how is it possible for a so-called sadhu to disclose his age? He will say, we have a tradition to live long. You know, my grandfather, he was a yogi and he lived for 150 years. So I'm also already 120 years. But it's simply bluffing. People believe. Blind faith. But in factuality, no. In Kali Yuga, the composition of the body is filled with more ignorance. And such ignorance takes us to the steep, failure. In Kali Yuga, you don't get even good air like PNG air. Go to Japan and you'll suffocate yourself. So therefore, in Japan, there are shops that are selling pure oxygen. You go there, you go there and spend half an hour and they will charge you about a few hundred yens. In half an hour, they will make money. Because there is no fresh air. It's so much pollution. You can't breathe. So, who can do the yoga exercising in Japan when there is no enough oxygen even? All that inhale is carbon dioxide, that there is no need of apanvayu and pranavayu to be similar. In the pranayama, the fourth one, that you inhale and exhale, but hold it in between. So, prana and apan will become equalized, equilibrium will be there. So, in Japan you don't have to do yoga. It's already equilibrated. It means you suffocate. How much can you hold your air? So, all these physical steps are difficult to accomplish. So, Arjuna is very candid to admit that, my dear Krishna, what you are telling, I consider it impossible virtually that we can ever be successful to control our mind. Krishna encourages, yes, if one is purvabhyasa, abhyasa yoga yuktena, with the help of a proper scrutinizing study and practice of it. It is possible. But that possibility was also time limited. In Kali Yuga, Krishna says, what you say is all right. In Kali Yuga, nobody is going to do it. When you say, yes, I'm not telling you you are wrong, but it has its merits only in that particular recommended period. People are cheating on kaya kalpa. Then they will completely rejuvenate your body. If rejuvenation of the body is easily available in the market, how come Bollywood stars are dying every day? And they have gone through plastic surgery and pulling up their blobs. And Elizabeth Taylor has done so many times just to look young. Even she has approached so many sadhus, tantrics in India. Chandra Swami, the very famous one, he considered Elizabeth Taylor as my disciple. In 1978, he came to the United States under the auspices of Indira Gandhi government to make a deal for the armaments. They use sadhu for that. And he thinks he's going to show some chamatkars to such, bodily conceived, too much attached to the body people in America. So he was able to get some clientele like Elizabeth Taylor and other Bollywood stars, But they don't come out in public because they are horrified to see themselves in the mirror. They say that whatever the prestige we gained in our youth, if we expose our old age to them, virtually, it will be discredit. This is their calculation, so they never dare to come out. So, in this reference, Srila Prabhupada is giving the quotation from Kathopanishad that Atmanam Rathinam Vidding Shariram Rathamevacha. This body is like a chariot. Chariot is driven by 5 horses. The horses are connected with the rope called the rein. But the rein is in the hand of intelligence. Atma is only a passenger sitting in the body of a chariot. He's not the driver. He commands his intelligence to drive in particular direction. But he is a passenger. We are not the drivers. We command. You don't get a beautiful car even that works at your command. You will have to use your body to command the car. But the car is already been designed by an engineer. So intelligence is the engineer. You have to follow the direction, otherwise, you will create an accident. So, the most beautiful vehicle that we have been given is the body. Body is considered to be the chariot, but it has been driven by 5 horses. What is your engine? How many horsepower? It says 5 horsepower engine we have. 5 horsepower engine. Pretty good. But these 5 horses are connected by the ropes of mind. If we drive, or if we tell the mind, if we get our progressive life by commanding the mind, or at the mind command, do you think where will we go? Can we go to our desired destination through the command of the mind? First of all, mind is turbulent. Is uncontrolled. Can you tell an uncontrolled person to guide your life? Can you tell a blind person to lead you? So, the most important aspect here is the rein that connects the horses should be in the hand of intelligence. Don't let your mind run your business. You say, mind your business, but don't let your business run by the mind. Because mind is fickle. It's very tempting. Succumb to the senses. But give this rein in the hands of intelligence. So intelligence is discriminating. If it holds the mind tightly, then the horses will be going straight. So in this way, you will not be succumbed to sleep. You'll get up for Mangala Arati. Be intelligent. Put the reins of your mind in the hands of intelligence. Don't waste time. No. Finish your rounds in time. Manage your time. This is intelligent. You can't afford to miss the time. So the idea is that Atma is only the passenger. We are passengers in this body. Can you imagine that whose mind is loose, means the reins are loose, the horses will go in their own directions. And what will be the condition of the chariot? The five horses represent the five senses. Every sense is attracted by its own object of sense gratification. And simultaneously, five senses are simultaneously attracting. So they are pulling the chariot in different directions. What will be the condition of the passenger riding in that kind of chariot? The chariot is going to fall apart. The chariot is going to fall apart. So, therefore, the rein of mind must be in the hand of discriminating faculty called intelligence and hold it tight. Then you will not succumb to sleep, ignorance. Be intelligent. Human life is to utilize this intelligence for our own good. Our own good is not here because everything is miserable. The Maya makes it so much allurement and we forget the miseries just for the time. But miseries are chasing our tail ever. And we have been caught many a times. Many a times we try to escape from the clutches of Maya, holding our tail. But when the final blow that is going to come, she will not spare us. She may play around with us, just like a cat chasing the mouse. May play around for some time, but final blow will be there. So, manah chanchalam krishna pramati balavat dradam tam nigraham vayoreva shudushkaram. To control the wind is easier than to control the mind. And never under false impression of this ego think that you are in control of yourself. You are not in control. How much control we can ever do? Control means voluntary actions. or voluntary command on our guidance. You know, first of all, a child has to be properly educated so he can at least carry out this function to sustain his stomach. Means all the bodily conception. Or because he's a social animal, he has to intermingle and he creates his own society by creating his own family. So instead of his own selfish interest, he expands his interests. These interests are pushing him far and far up to the nationalism. But these are all extended interests of the body. Right? So, how much control he has on everything that he has expanded? He gets frustrated. We read Howard Hughes's history. Howard Hughes was, in his young age, a Bollywood star. He amassed so much income. He created his own companies and construction of aircrafts and airfields and airports that he had. He was the owner. But on the way, he had to bribe so many people, big people, in order to get his interest satisfied. But when he died a miserable death. It is said that he did not have anything to eat. He died out of starvation. He was so much suffering from the sores all over the body. He did not want germs to come in the lungs even though naturally the germs are already there within our body, in the mouth, over the skin, in the rectum, anywhere. You see, germs are actually constituting part of our existence. But he would seal himself into a very weatherproof chambers where no germs can penetrate, but yet he got infections. He would so much be afraid that he wouldn't want to come out from his chamber. And he got frustrated mentally because he cannot prevent anything despite of all this money. So he confessed that since I have made some mistake in my life, he couldn't control himself. Even in our body, how many voluntary muscles are the one that leads into a reflex action at our command? How many are there? And how many involuntary muscles are there? That ordinarily we cannot stop even our heart beating. We cannot stop the liver functions or kidney functions. We have no control on the involuntary existence in our body. Who has the control then? Well, Paramatma is sitting in your heart, the Super Soul. At least he has control. And nobody can deny that. But yet we occupied this little frame of the body and we think we own it. We are not the owner. We even violate somebody else's ownership and we claim it is our own. But we are paying rent. We are paying rent of this apartment. And even in this apartment, mind is a faculty that
accumulate so many perceptions of our senses. The good perceptions I want, bad perceptions I reject, and that's about it. But intelligence is another faculty. It doesn't care about good and bad. It only cares about our real welfare, eternal welfare of the soul. If one has not cultivated that intelligence, he is still an animal. However polished he may be, but he is still an animal. He must have studied so many things and got the degrees, but that never gave any intelligence. He got information how to sustain this body, how to fulfill the sense gratification of the body. That's about it. But he neglected his reality, did not understand a bit about himself. So what to speak, how much control does he have over this body? There is a society. And you will see probably when you go to Brisbane or any big city like Sydney is filled with all these guys. These guys are so powerful that everybody serves them. They don't have to serve anybody. But yet they get frustrated because they are the boss. And they get frustrated with bossism that, oh, let somebody control me because everybody is under my control, they think. So crazily they go to some parlors of dominatrix. Dominatrix is a special kind of prostitutes. They whip the guy and they want to pay them for whipping. And you will get all these things in the shop available. See? He is uncontrolled. That's why he is going to get control and he will pay to control him. This is the world of dominatrix. That came into light in 1980s sometime, where there was a murder in New York of a dominatrix. And it's working like underground work, underground clubs, you know, because they are completely nefarious. People are so powerful, they have so much money, so much, that everybody is under their control and they feel vacant that nobody can control me. Mostly they are divorced people because it's a control issue. So they go to such people to get control and virtually they make them naked and whip them right on the deck. And they pay to get whipped. This is the extreme of materialism. Extreme. I'm not lying. I will give you the clippings. I will show you the storerooms even. We have a vegetarian restaurant in Brisbane and just few shops away there is a dominatrix shop in the downtown Brisbane. And you will see a very nice decorative whip. It's not for the horse, but they will make you horse and whip you. So, they want to get chastised and they will pay for chastisement. What a crazy world. Because of uncontrolled senses, uncontrolled mind. They adopt artificial means that degrade the humanity. They do not know what to do with that money. They are so envious people. Neither they will give it to some charitable cause, nor for their upliftment either. But in this way we can see how difficult it is to control the mind. This is the life of a modern man. And do you think he will be able to succeed in controlling mind with the yoga system? So the idea, we have to understand, Manah chanchalam krishna pramati balavad dradam. How to control the mind in this age of Kali? Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is the means to control the mind. Now, you can't waste whatever allotted time we have, even it is less than 100 years, but can't afford. And if we remain careless, oh, what is in this life anyway? I will come several times, but I will be telling, okay, Hare Krishna, don't mind. I will just chant few rounds at a time. No, 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 no. Become more intelligent. You know, nothing is going to spare us. Nothing is working according to our desires. We are not in the control. Krishna is in control. You know? Krishna is telling Maya to control us. And her controlling methods are very, very innovative. Maya can make even the most affluent person to become a horse and get whipped. Alright? This is how Maya will control them. So, in this way, we can understand that in Dhyana Yoga, the process of meditation is a very stern process, very disciplined process. It cannot be taken cheaply, simply by performing few asanas under the heading of yoga. Yogi Raj, but this Yogi Raj knows nothing beyond, you know, asana. He is not even, yama niyam are also absent there. What to speak of pranayam pratyaha? Few people know some pranayam aspect, but that is not only complete. Ramdev Baba shows the what is that? Anulom Vilom and Bhastika. That's alright. You know, it is simply to control some prana, apana, udana, vyana, and saman, vayus. That's alright. But what, at what extent, how much you have to do, how much perfection to you do, so those who are diabetic B types, that they can, you know, have little chance to stimulate their pancreas. After all, they depend upon stimulation. In modern science, they were depending upon little pills to stimulate. If it doesn't work, the pranayama also doesn't work after some time. The person ends up taking insulin. But they can make a big claim. Oh, he has to give up his insulin and he's cured. But who knows where it is recorded? What is the statistics? What procedure is making a definitive, you know, record keeping is not there. It's simply taking for granted, blind faith. Not provable. So therefore, he has to change his tone so many times. And before coming to United States, he has to work out on a low profile. Very low profile. But he amassed wealth. And he is running a big industrial pharmaceutical company. a very modern, simply for medicine. But is it going to give guarantee for eliminating the death? People are taking so much risk, uncertain. Just to conquer the death, this easy process of bhakti yoga has been given. Just connect yourself directly with Krishna through chanting His holy name. And yesterday we discussed at length on that subject matter. So the idea is that the yoga system was meritorious only in particular age, that is Krita. Krita age means Satya Yoga. Krita Dhyayata Vishwa. This has been very affirmative and statistically proven fact. So we have to consider this particular proposal that Arjun is disqualifying. If Arjun, who is more qualified than us, disqualifies the process of this Dhyana Yoga, meditation, why should we waste time? Rather, the total remembrance of Dhyana can come if we engage 7% Savai Manah Krishna Padaravindayo Vanchansi Gunan Harikran Varanam. Just like Ambarish Maharaj was showing us the way how to engage oneself, one's mind and thoughts of Krishna, how to worship with the hands, engage all the faculties of our body in His service. That is the best way to connect, rather than simply sit down at one place. The Dhyana Yoga was meritorious to go in jungle. In PNG there are jungles. Tell them to go. They can organize a big camp over here of Dhyana Yoga. So, anyway, chant Hare Krishna and always remain in yoga of Krishna. Anybody has any question?
Haribol.
So when you are in an expanded cycle, all right, you have a very large circumference to cover. Therefore, the lifespan is long. But at the same time, execution of the principles of religion, there are four. You get the best advantage and best result, by following that. What are the four pillars of the religion? Anybody?
Austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, compassion.
Daya. Satya. Tapa. Daya. Suchi. Cleanliness. Suchi means cleanliness. So these are the four pillars of Dharma. In Satya Yoga, one deteriorates. Alright? So in that, if you have the maximum advantage, means at the end of Satya Yoga, one is finished. Alright? Tapa is finished. The leg of tapa is finished. So, you have only three remaining, and one is starting deteriorating, means the second will be deteriorating as the age advances. So in Treta Yoga, the lifespan also decreases, because death is inner circle. Then, so it has smaller circumference. Right? So, in Treta Yoga, the means to salvation was fire sacrifice. In Satya Yoga, the means of salvation was tapa. Then from tapa, tapa is not going to work in Treta Yoga. Rather, fire sacrifice is going to work. So, which leg will be finished? Suchi. So, then in Dwapar Yuga is another circle within the two outside circles. So naturally it's 1,000 years, it's a smaller circumference. Right. So, another leg will be deteriorated. The time is taking the toll. So, what is that? Compassion. Daya. Daya is totally killed. But Satya is remaining in Satya Yuga, I mean this Kali Yuga. And what is that Satya? The truth is still that we are existing. And what is that? Kirtanalaya Krishna Smukta Sangam Param. This is the only truth. Otherwise everything is fake. Everything is detrimental. No speedy. This Mahan Guna is of the Satya Yuga. That is remaining. So it can be achieved even in the shortest lifespan. And what is the means? So in this way we can understand that appropriation according to age, the lifespan, the method of salvation, how the dharma is sustained. Dharma is standing right now only on one leg, and by the end it will be also cut off. That's why Kalki will come to re-establish.
So tell people about how, like in ISKCON, there are certain Hatha Yoga and other things which are done. So there, how they link, do they link that process properly or?
No, they are the introduction to those who are interested, but they are never showing any yoga practices. They are bringing them up towards the ladder of Dhyan, Dharana and Samadhi. And directly putting them on the chanting yoga, japa yoga. Because they are interested in some sub-religious principle, they are pious, they got some qualities, say they are vegetarians, and they want to, live a simple life. So in this way, they can get the advantage under the name of yoga. So they call it not Hatha Yoga, but Atma Yoga. They call it Atma Yoga. Devotees are not interested in Hatha Yoga. They are not interested in Pranayama. They are not interested in, you know, any other thing. Asana Yoga. When you have transcendental conception developed through chanting of the holy name, it's already dharana. Then you meditate on different aspects that is generated by the holy name, the holy vibrations, the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, and the pastimes of the Lord. They are related. So when you progress on that, that itself is samadhi for you. It's like that. Krishna says that those who approach the demigods, they are less intelligent. Demigods are not less intelligent. They are completely in trust and faithfulness of Lord Krishna. And they are conducting the entire material affairs of management and whatever their jurisdiction is as a service to Krishna. They don't claim themselves are independent. Never you will ever read in the Shastra. But Kavali states that Hatagyana Prapadyantanya Devata. It is because their real knowledge is been stolen by the basic modes of Rajogun, Kama, material desires are mistakeful desires. Mistakeful. Because it's going to entangle them. So then they will go to them, oh, you can give me this, but don't entangle me. How is it? They cannot do. So they are not going to correct, you go to Krishna. I will give you, but you tell Krishna to disentangle me. No. They say, you want it, you got it. But because this is, I'm a wrong number, why should I declare that I'm a wrong number to you? You are already full, number one. I'm not a wrong number. So those who want to fulfill their material desires, they can go to Krishna, and Krishna has made arrangement. But you don't want to have to go to them to fulfill separate desires. But even though it is recommended, that you have desires, then go to them. Even though it is not necessary to go to them, but it will be suggested, because you do not understand that who is the Supreme and who are the Devatas and Devis, you go to them. The Shastra also recommends, if you want a good husband, then go to Lord Shiva and Parvati too. You go to Lakshmi now. While South Indians are doing daily kalyanam, you know, why? Karmakan, because they want to keep their marriage. So every day, how many times Lakshmi Narayan is getting married? In all the temples, simultaneously, can you calculate? They perform this Kalyan Utsavam every day.
Numbers are increasing day
numbers
by day.
Yes.
Nitya Kalyan.
And they are so busy in getting them married, because everybody wants to keep their marriage safe. In Kali Yuga, his marriage is breaking off.
Everybody wants to
keep their marriage safe.
Because their marriage is in jeopardy. Kama istaisar hatatyana prapadyantane. So they're told. Okay. The Vaishnavas go to Lakshmi Narayan and perform that. So others who do not know about Lakshmi Narayan, they go to Shiva Parvati, Gangaur. In Rajasthan, you know, they do Gangaur. Lord Shiva and Parvati are getting married, but they can get them married only once a year.
Not daily. Okay.
And they bring their children even, you know, and get them married. So they are simply sucking the milk, yet their marriage is fixed up in Gangaur. In India, yes. In Rajasthan especially. And go to Pushkar Mela, they will do that. This is Kalyan. But Kama is the answer, Hatagyana. Ratagyana means the real knowledge is stolen. That means gods are supposed to supply. What difference it is going to make? Huh? The animals are not going for daily marriage ceremonies of, right? And naturally, they, by instinct, they are having their own families. And there is fidelity in their family, faithfulness in the family. But man is infidel, and those who do not want to be infidel, they go to demigods. But in both the case, the jnana means the real knowledge of his eternity is lost. So kama is the ishtar. It is by the kamana, the desire to of material, they approach different demigods. Krishna says, tam tam niyam maasthaya mayate vikasve. I'm fixing their shraddha in their demigods. Okay, go ahead. Huh? Because what can you do with a less intelligent person? How much can you convince him? His knowledge is already stolen. Even Krishna does not touch them. He said, I will fix your shraddha because it's your desire, I'm going to give you that. Who else otherwise give you, fulfill your desire? You alone cannot do. I have to supply you, I have to make the arrangement. But you asked for it, you got it. So this way, people cultivate faith in the demigods and they think they are equal. It's not the fault on the part of demigods. It's the fault on the part of less intelligent people. And to disentangle,
nobody will take a responsibility. No, don't disturb our jurisdiction. Remember, Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. Immortality in the same body. But he did not know that he is immortal, and unless and until he spiritualizes his body, he can be in the same body for eternity. But this guy is a rascal. He is a demon, the king of the demon, not ordinary demon. He wanted to cheat Brahma. Brahma said, I'm not immortal, how can I give you the benediction of immortality? Wait a minute. So, this immortality was not awarded, but still the demon was trying to get it. By hook or crook, he thinks he is more intelligent. Even though he lost the real intelligence because of his lusty desires, he started cheating Brahma. Now Brahma, okay, I can understand that part, but okay, then give me this kind of benediction. Nobody can kill me, man or animal. Nobody, yes, in no directions I can be killed. You know, not inside, not out, not by weapon, not by any. The time is also there. Not during the day, not during the night. I mean, he thinks, and Brahma says, I can grant all of you. Then all of this, take up. And in that limited fund of knowledge, he thought, oh, really, I made Brahma be fool. It's as good as immortality. He doesn't know what is he doing. Okay, Brahma, that's all right. So he started, you know, disturbing the demigods. Because he thinks he's immortal, he's God. He's powerful, he's this, he was that. But the demon got a checkmate by his own son, a little Prahlad. He was properly educated and his intelligence was fixed on Lord Sri Krishna right within the womb. Because Narad Muni educated by transcendental vibrations.
So Guru Maharaj, like God has said, as you said just now, that he fixes your faith in the particular God or demigod whom you are worshipping. So you know, like in past birth, might be some person must have been worshipping somebody else. So how do we change our faith now? Realize
that we have to worship Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So how can we change the faith from that we got to Lord Krishna? Worship for what? Somebody is worshipping for kamana. Alright? But kamana are even satisfied in more and very, very intricate ways by the non-believers too. What is your gain? If you are a believer, because you have some desires to get through the demigods. But those who are non-believers, they are doing better, the same kind of desires, and you want to imitate now. So who you are worshipping? The demigods or the non-believers? You imitate them. The Western country, everybody imitates. If you want to drink or eat some ganja, you can go to the worship of Lord Shiva. But you don't want to drink poison. And because Lord Shiva is only giving ganja, I may change. I want to drink something else. So, do you think Lord Shiva can supply the other things? He is the master of all the Vyalas. Vyala means those who have helped him to drink little drops of poison that came out from the Samudra Manthan, you know. This is an extraordinary task only the Supreme Lord in his transformed form, because in the spiritual world it is only Amrutam. In material world it is the poison. But the poison has to be absorbed, otherwise it will not allow anybody to exist. It was that halahal. Right? So even though the Lord who is the destroyer, instead of destroying right away, he withheld the poison within his own throat. Because he is compassionate. But after all, poison is poison. Who is going to take? He will be disturbed. If somebody is asking only sense gratification from Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva will be insulted. He has multifarious functions. He is called Ashutosh. Because he doesn't want to get disturbance in his bhajan, he is chanting always Mahashankarshan mantra. Alright? The devotees who chant Hare Krishna, Lord Shiva is not disturbed. One who is trying to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva is benedicting even the 10 prachetas who are going to become prajapatis. It is coming in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva is very pleased. I know who you are, but I want to give you the mantra by which you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Shiva sings the whole praises of the Supreme Lord. And prachetas mastered. And they went to this beautiful Samudra Manasa lake. And beautiful description in Srimad Bhagavatam is there. But it is by the mercy of Lord Shiva that prachetas became very, very powerful prajapatis for service to Lord Shri Krishna. That is the function of Lord Shiva. So instead of getting disturbed, who disturbs them? The worshippers of Lord Shiva themselves disturb Lord Shiva by asking petty benefits. They are poisonous in nature. So that disturbance of sense gratification, either Lord Shiva remains in crematorium without any attachment, then nobody follows there. Nobody follows him there. Nobody wants to go to crematorium. They simply want little ganja. So Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhum, the supreme devotee. Supreme devotee. I went to Mahakaleshwar. And both at in Kashi Vishwanath. You know how they treat the devotees? Beautiful. Oh, Vaishnav, come over. And they will chant all Vishnu mantras of purification, Om Apavitra Pavitra Vasarvavasthan, and will get you all the pujas done for Lord Shiva. But we do not find any disturbance there. We are not disturbing either. He's not only a demigod, he is Mahadev. But he is not Swatantra, he is not independent. His name itself is related to the Supreme for the benefit of the entire world. Kalyan, that is called Shivam. but his name is Shankarshan, transformed into Shankar for particular reason. Otherwise, who can become husband of
Maya?
Who can become the husband of Maya? That is a very thankless task. And Lord Vishnu, in the Guna Avatar, it is said, when he desired to come and become the avatar of Tamogun, he is Lord Shiva, transformed. In Vaishnava Tantra, beautiful prayers are there for Lord Shiva. But how do you pray? How do you approach him? A devotee of Lord Krishna is approaching Lord Shiva in a wonderful way. That is never a disturbance. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented in Navadvip Dham, Mayapur, Sridham Mayapur. Right besides his advent, there is a big Shivalaya, and we have two Shivalingas being worshipped during the time. And there is also conception of Harihar. There is Murti of Harihar. That is in Vaishnava Sampradaya. People do not know that a devotee of Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is automatically pleasing to all the demigods. Nay, if one becomes a very pure devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Chandra, everybody, including Lord's own wife, Lakshmi Devi, they failed to appease Lord Nrisingadev, who killed the demon Hiranyakashipu. He had so ferocious, anger that they were trembling. Lord Brahma tried to appease. He failed. Lord Shiva tried to appease Lord Narasimha. He failed. They are telling Mother Lakshmi, go and calm down your husband. And Lakshmi said, who? Is he my husband? No. She failed to understand Narasimhadev as her husband. It was that kind of ferociousness. In Srimad Bhagavatam, she is called Shankita. Lakshmi is Shankita. She became doubtful. She is so chaste, she doesn't want to, accept any other form than her desired form. That is the chastity. And Lord Narasimhadev was completely bewildering to her. So all the demigods failed. Then Brahma thought, this little Prahlad, Lord Narasimha came to save him, so he must be the pure devotee. Then he's calling, Prahlad, Prahlad, please go and calm down your master. And Prahlad was ready. Fearlessly he went and garlanded Lord Narasimhadev and fell flat. Narasimhadev's attention is changed. His mood completely, changed. He picked up Prahlad and put him on his lap and started petting him. He glorified Prahlad. He glorified Prahlad. Prabhupada writes that, see, this pure devotee, he is the leader of all the demigods. A little Prahlad is the leader of all the demigods. A pure devotee. How? Then he quotes this particular verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. A devotee who is an akinchan bhakta of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. Akinchan means he doesn't have any attachment.
It doesn't mean he doesn't love anybody. But love without attachment is very important. Lord Shiva is an example. He doesn't have any attachment. And yet, he wants to conduct all the welfare, Shivadam, to the Supreme Personality of God. He wants to take care of all this, prajas, and fulfill their desires, Shivadam. So, Lord Shiva doesn't have any attachment. He doesn't have a house even to stay. The father and mother of the entire cosmic manifestation doesn't have a house to stay. What a detachment is that? He has all his members of the household opposite in character of each other. Their swabhavas are completely opposite. Sometimes Durga doesn't believe Lord Shiva. And she has to pay heavy fine. She committed mistake to go to her father's house where Lord Shiva was not invited. And Lord Shiva told, don't go. But yet she went, and what happened? She had to give up the body because she was insulted. And she took insult on herself that, well, my father, who produced this body, he is an offender of Lord Shiva. Therefore, my body is also offending Lord Shiva. Then, he doesn't have anybody who is not in opposite. So, Lord Shiva, Parvati, both are having different natures. Nandi and Tiger, both have different nature. Ganesh and Kartikeya, both have different natures. Completely opposite. Right? Their functionalities are different. Mouse and snake also have complete different nature. And peacock and snake has also different nature. You name it. All the household is of a complete opposite nature. But ever have you heard that there was a fight in the household? That snake chased the mouse. That the tiger ate up the Nandi. Have you ever heard? What is that which is sustaining equilibrium? Because everyone is a devotee. Everyone is a devotee. Lord Shiva teaches them how to simply remember the Supreme Absolute Truth. But he himself is a transformed truth. Just like milk is transformed from, into yogurt. It's a form that has been transformed from milk. So, yogurt is nothing but milk, but you cannot get milk from yogurt. Milk can be transformed to yogurt. So that is transformation. Lord Shiva has a unique position in maintaining the material world as well as destroying. But spiritual worlds are always created, and they are always sustained, and they are always eternal. They are not temporary. And they are three-fourths than the material creations. So, in this way, we can understand the position of Lord Shiva. And devotees and Lord Shiva's teachings are parallel. They are not contradictory. But those whose minds are bewildered by kamana, they see Lord Shiva differently. They see Lord Shiva differently. So, it is not the fault of the demigods. Krishna says, kama istesir harta jnana prapadyantyanya devata. Those whose minds are distorted by, you know, material desires, they resort to the demigods. But ultimately, I am the sanctioner and I have provided. Tam tam niyam asthaya maya devhitasvaya. He says, so Krishna is the ultimate provider. And they are delegating agents to provide the desires. Take a beautiful wife, okay. But how long the beautiful wife is going to remain beautiful, or how long she will be existing, how long you will be existing. Why are we changing partners in every life? Even in this life, the changing of partners are becoming more frequent. Why? Those who have been married in accordance with the Vedic rites and rituals and sanskaras, you know, how many times they go around the fire sacrifice? 7. Right? What does it mean? For at least 7 lifetimes, you have to be gathered. In one lifetime, for some time, it is becoming difficult. So, the idea is that we have to be very practical in understanding. Our religion is not a belief system. It's a practical science. And we have to develop faith on observational truth rather than make believe. Everything is rightly situated, but we are not. We are not rightly situated. That's the difficulty. It's 2 o'clock. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.